Ladies and gentlemen, we present Peter Brough and Archie Andrews in Educating Art.
Archie, come up to my study at once.
All right, Brough, I'm coming.
Now, look here, Archie. In return for your pocket money, you're supposed to tidy up my study.
Well, I do.
Then why is it that every time I look in here, I see a frightful mess?
It's a mirror facing the door.
Now, look, one of your jobs, my boy, is to keep this place clean. It's in a terrible state. Look at it. There's dirt and dust everywhere. Look at that rug. Now, that could do with a thorough beating.
It's just had one.
When?
Last Thursday, when it was stuck down my pants.
Well, now, look, I'm going downstairs. You stay here and see you get busy. And another thing, the outside of this door is covered with finger marks.
Well, you can't blame me for that. I always kick it open.
That's it. All right, goodbye.
Suppose I better get cracking. Oh, dear me. Work all day, work all night, body all aching and racked with pain. Oh, dear.
For you.
Oh, a big bottle of red ink.
Yes.
Here. Where did you get it from?
My hall mistress. You see, she gives us a black mark when we're bad and a red mark when we're good. She's got more red ink than she knows what to do with. Poor thing.
Well, put it on the desk. Go on.
I hope.
Oh, Monica, it's broken and look, it's all over the floor.
Oh, not to worry, Archie. There's no money on the bottle. But I think we'd better mop it up. If the cat sees it, she might lick it up, and she might have pink kittens.
Yes, and if Bruff sees it, he will have pink kittens. Come on, let's go downstairs and get a mop, shall we?
All right.
All right.
I think, can I go down the banister?
Oh, all right, if you want to.
Righto. Ooh. You might have told me you'd have the knob put back.
Well, now, here's the cupboard. Now for the mop.
Just a minute. What's that door?
That? Oh, that's our lounge. It's just been redecorated. It's strictly under old Bruff's study.
But let's just have a peep on it.
All right. Yes.
Oh, I say, look. The ceiling's bleeding.
Oh, Monica, don't be silly. It's that ink. It came through the floor. Oh, dear. Bruff will see red.
Of course he will. It's red ink. But don't panic, Archie. We can sort of paint it over.
Oh, yes, so we could. You know, the decorators were here yesterday, and they left this paint. Tell me, is it the right colour?
Yes, off-white. Phew, smells it too.
But, Monica, you know, we haven't got a ladder. How can we paint on the ceiling?
Well, same way that we got the ink on the ceiling. Go back upstairs and pour it down through the floorboard.
Oh, Monica, be sensible. Look, the grand piano's right under the stage.
Well, I could stand on it, couldn't I?
Well, you mustn't scratch it, you know.
No.
Here, put your hanky on the piano to protect it from your shoes. Come
on. All right, but first of all, I'll put some paper on the piano to protect it from my hanky.
Yes, that's
now,
right.
Help me out, but I'll step on this bit first.
All right.
I say, listen, Archie, no hands.
Well, what's the matter now?
I left the brush down the other end.
Well, here it is, and here's the paint. Now, stand on the top and start painting.
I hope. I say, this is too much like hard work. I've got a better idea. I hold the brush to the ceiling, and you push the piano up and down.
All right, well, Monica, go on, get on with it. Bruff will be back soon. Do be
I
quick.
Hope.
Come on. Hurry up.
Sorry, I tripped over a black one then.
Get a move on.
Well, stand there criticizing. Why don't you come up and accompany me on the piano? You could at least hold the paint.
Well, you don't want me for that. Lean over and stand it on top of the door. Go on, it's halfway open.
All right, I hope it's safe.
Hello, Archie. Monica. Oh, you wicked children.
Oh, he's smothered in white paint.
Yes, look at him. If he was twins, he'd make a smashing pair of goalposts.
Don't stand there, you two. Find me something to wipe this paint off with.
Well, what about using this rug?
Well, that won't get it off.
But no, but it'll give you a lovely matte finish.
Oh, you naughty children. What were you doing anyway?
Well, we were only trying to paint out that stain in the ceiling.
But it's still showing, Archie. Oh, well, now that I'm dirty, I may as well finish the job, I suppose. I'll get that stain out somehow.
But here's the paint.
There's not much left.
Well, never mind. If you run out, you can always dip the brush in your pocket.
Well, where's the brush?
It's right behind you.
Well, I can't see it.
No, I don't suppose you can. It was on the chair where you were sitting.
Look at that brush. It's stuck on him like a sporran.
Yes, from the back he looks like a Scotsman from the front.
All right, that'll do. Now, you two keep still while I get up on this card table and try and put this right.
Monica, don't you think we ought to tell him that the card table's not fixed up properly?
No. He'll be all right, Archie, as long as he keeps a good grip on the brush.
Oh!
Hey, look at old brush swinging from the chandelier.
Oh! Help! Look what's happened now.
Well, you certainly removed the stain. Now let's see you put the ceiling back.
You young villains. Well, I'm going to have a bath and get cleaned up. Goodbye.
Poor old Bruff. He's not so bad, really, Monica.
If you like that sort of thing.
Yeah, I wonder what he was like when he was young. Oh, he must have been a beautiful baby. He must have been a wonderful child.
When he was only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet he drove the little girl wild.
And when it came to winning blue ribbons, he must have shown the other kids how.
I can see the judge's eyes as they handed him the prize. I bet he made the cutest bow. He must have been a
beautiful baby. Cause baby, look at him now. Here, Monica. Listen to this, Monica. He must have been a horrible baby.
He must have been a terrible brat.
They must have found it trying when he started crying and found he had two voices, both flat.
I'm sure he was the pet of the teacher. I'm positive she thought him unique. I can see her sparkling eyes as she handed him the prize because he was the biggest freak. Oh, he must have been a peculiar baby. Cause baby, look at him now.
I may be dim, but your light's gone out altogether. Laddie!
Hello, where's Laddie?
Laddie, I may be dim, but your light's gone out altogether. Come on, really, he's not here yet.
Oh. Ah, well, another day. Poor old Dr. Seacom. He means well, you know, but he's so dim.
I may be dim, but your light's gone out altogether. I thought I'd missed it for a minute.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Laddie. And what better to begin class than algebra?
Oh, I hate algebra.
Why, what's he done to you? What's he done? Oh, Seacom, you gay mad thing, you.
Shall we get on with the lesson?
As you will. Algebra. Now, I write on the board X. Now, what does that mean to you?
Nothing. I've already got your autograph.
Easy, laddie. The master wants your attention, not your old buck. Now, if x equals 2 and y equals 4, what is x plus x?
Why?
Because I want to know, that's why.
Y is the answer. X plus x equals y.
So it does. By Jove, but that's got his head screwed on. Left hand thread. Left hand. All in jocular vein, laddie.
Don't apologize, sir. It's a good joke. It's better than the one about the ink pellet.
The ink pellet? I don't know that one.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter then.
No, come on, let's have it. Oh!
Gosh, you're quick, sir. You got it right away.
Don't stand there, laddie. Pass me something to wipe this ink off my face.
Here you are, sir.
That's better. Just for that, you'll stop in after school.
I live here.
Well, stop out then.
Steady,
on. What is it now, sir?
The joke has come back on you, laddie. Look at the ink in your handkerchief.
Oh, that's not my handkerchief.
Isn't it?
No, it's the end of your shirt.
My shirt? Oh! Laddie, close your eyes while I tuck it in again.
Okay.
Ooh, that's cold. Ooh. All right. Now listen to me, heart of oak. One more clever move like that, and the lesson will be carpentry.
Hello, boys.
Oh, hello, Miss Dinglebody. Here, what have you got there?
Hello, Agatha, what have you got there?
I just said that.
Well, don't be nosy.
Well, I've got a big surprise for you both.
Oh, good. Me first. No.
Get behind me, laddie. Masters first.
I've knitted you both a few things to keep you warm.
Agatha, I'm terribly touched.
Oh, I always said he was a bit touched.
Hush, laddie. This is a beautiful moment. Agatha laden with gifts from afar. Gifts to cloak our shoulders and protect us from the bitter wine.
Act three.
My heart goes out to you, Agatha. You see, this is the first present I've ever received from anybody.
Well, what about your parents?
They weren't a present. They were there all the time.
Well, here you are. I hope they fit.
Oh, thank you. Good.
Agatha? This balaclava helmet is a bit small for me.
Oh, Harold, that's Archie's pullover.
Pullover? I wondered why there wasn't a hole in the front.
Now, where's Archie gone? Archie, where are you?
I'm here.
Well, come out. That's Harold's balaclava.
Come here, laddie. Let's try it on. Now. Agatha, it fits me, but shouldn't there be a hole for my face to stick out?
Oh, you've got the hole at the back. It should be there. No, on second thought, it's better as it is.
Oh, this pullover's a bit tight on me.
Well, it was all right when I met. Oh, look, you're standing in one of the sleeves.
Well, Agatha, thank you. I shall wear this balaclava until the weather gets warmer.
Yeah. And when summer comes, there'll be a white circle on his face where he's washed.
Now, let me see. Are you all right for socks?
Oh, yes, I've got three socks. Oh, yes, I'm all right there, Agatha. If one of my socks goes, I've got a replacement.
Harold, let me see your socks.
Agatha, see my socks? What would the neighbors think?
Come on, sir. Off with your boots.
No, laddie. Oh, Agatha. Oh,
just as I thought. Bare feet. Where are your socks?
Well, it's rather chilly, Agatha. I pulled them up to cover my knees.
Oh, dear. I'd better knit you some. Put your boots on again.
Thank you. I'm not accustomed to waving my naked feet in public.
Oh, I've just realized I've never seen your feet before.
Agatha. Oh, Agatha. Oh. Stop fondling my toes, Agatha, please.
I think I'd better leave. Well, that's better. First time I ever saw a foot blush.
Morning, Archie.
Ah, Mr. Miles. Well... Hello, Mr. Miles. How's Nelly the horse?
Oh, she's rearing to go. I put her in the shed last night, and she must have slept well, because this morning she's been galloping round the lawn.
Well, that's not clever.
What, with the shed on her back? I bet you couldn't do it. Come on now, Master Archie. I'll bring her out now.
Oh, good. Come on, then.
No. You go. Come on, Nelly, old dear. Now, a bit of fresh air wouldn't do you no harm, I reckon. Come on.
Oh, she's saddled, too. Here, are you going to ride her?
Oh, no, I can't ride her. She hasn't been broken in yet. The first man who gets astride her will be lucky to finish up in one piece.
Good morning, Tinker.
Morning, Dr. Seacombe. Nellie's all ready for you.
Thank you.
But, Mr. Miles...
Oh, somebody's got to go first.
I just want to sit in the saddle for a short time.
Won't be sitting there for long.
Come on, sir. On you get.
All right. Hup. Could you get Nellie to kneel?
No, I'll get you on. And now, put your left foot in my hand. Come on.
Like this?
That's right now. Hop, hop.
Ah, splendid. I'm on.
Here, dang me, you're supposed to be sitting on the horse, not on my shoulders.
Oh, silly of me. I wondered why the horse was 2 yards away.
Get off me. Here, come on, get off me, Dr. Seacombe. She's offering me her saddle.
Right.
Now, this time, sir, up you get.
Left foot in my hands now. Come
right.
On. Hop.
There we are. How do I look?
Like a tom-tit on a round of beef.
Come on, Nelly, old girl. Get your head up. Nelly, head up and be proud.
She's got her head up. You're facing the wrong end.
Facing the wrong tail, eh? I was going to say, get your hair cut. Steady, Nelly. Steady, Nelly.
Oh! All right, once more then. Left foot in my hands.
You'll wear your hands out at this rate.
Now then, right. Hup, hup.
Oh, at last. Now, how's that?
Wonderful. You look like part of the horse.
Which part, back or front?
Look out, chaps. Nelly moves then.
Oh, you're all right now. She won't start off unless you gives her a slap on her rump.
What, like this?
No, steady, Nelly, steady. Careful, Master Archie. Let Dr. Seacombe get the feel of her first.
I just want to sit here for a while, that's all.
Of course you do. In any case, a slap like that would do no more than tickle her.
Wouldn't it?
No. This is how you want to slap her.
Oh, they went quickly. They've gone round the house.
I only hope they come back together.
Hey, listen.
Can't hold them much longer!
There, they've gone round again.
How I wonder she don't topple over with him sitting on her head like that.
Well, here they come again.
Where's the brake?
You know, if Nelly decides to gallop by this tree, that branch will get in Dr. Seacombe's way.
Ah, you're right. Dr. Seacombe, if you're coming back this way, lad...
What?
Well, keep your head down, otherwise you'll...
Ooh! Get me a ladder!
We told you to watch out for that branch. We shouted.
I didn't hear you.
Ah, but old Nelly did, bless her heart. Nellie's sharp. I saw her close one of her eyes and aim him at that branch.
Oh, she's here again.
Well, at least I'm safe on this branch. Look out! The branches! Oh! Nelly! Get from under me!
Well, look at that. He landed straight in the saddle.
When they come round again, there won't be no branch to catch him. That's the only thing.
Oh, that's true. And here they are now. Look.
Oh. See? I've got a throbbing now. Horsemanship, what?
You watch it. It's just that the branch is gone. She's studying out what to do next.
It's a good job she hasn't seen the pond.
The pond. The pond. Just behind the tree there. Pond. Water.
Oh, let's go and see what's happened.
What's the matter, Dr. Seacombe?
I stopped suddenly, and Nelly went in.
Thank you.
At one period in our history, warnings of invasion were given by the lighting of hill beacons. This was a particularly responsible task, and one family of beacon lighters took their job extremely seriously. Father, up on the hill, standing by his beacon, with his flint at the ready, while his wife and son kept watch from the shore.
Yet?
Not yet.
And 15 minutes later.
1500 yet?
Not yet.
And 15 minutes later.
1500?
No.
I wouldn't care, but it's been like this for 12 years.
Kathleen?
Yes?
Watch it now. You looked away just then.
Oh, I'm tired of looking out to sea. Nothing but water. It never does anything else but go out and come in.
But we are very important people, Mother. If any invaders come, Dad will be the first man to warn England.
1500
yet? Oh, why did I marry a beacon lighter? How can we see anything? We're looking out here all day.
Oh, here, look, Mother. A horseman galloping towards us.
Oh! Which is the way to the coast?
Well, this is the coast.
Oh, yes. A likely story. Get up!
He's gone galloping into the sea.
Oh, he's coming back now.
I must learn to trust people.
Who are you?
I'm an inspector of beacons.
Dad?
I can hear him. Good day, sir. I'm number one beacon lighter.
Well, as you realize, you have a great responsibility.
Huh?
I know. I used to be a beacon lighter myself. Number 12, Highgate Hill.
Oh, in London. What? Did you ever have to light it?
Once, by a grand blaze, too. Best part of London went up. Beacon lighter number one, what are your duties?
He shout, seen anything yet?
Quiet, Kathleen. My duty, sir, is...
The first sign?
That's right. At the first sign of invasion, I lights the whole beacon.
Right. And how does this give warning?
6 miles away, another beacon is lighted, and then another one, and so on, until all 4 beacons from here to London is lighted.
Right. And how long does it take for all the beacons to be lit?
About 3 weeks, if I run.
No, Dad, you only like this beacon. Another man likes number 2, and so on.
Oh, I was looking forward to a trip to London.
It's a good job I came, I can see that. Luke, all you have to do is light the fire and make sure they see it on the next hill.
Well, I can wheel it across in a barrow.
Oh, I know what you mean, Mr. Inspector. You want a massive conflagration.
No, no, it says here in the regulations... You're right. It is a massive conflagration.
Well, what about the beacon?
Well, light that as well. Be on the safe side.
Dad?
Yeah, all right, boy. There's only 3 of us, you know. And I'm wondering how we're going to make up a massive congregation.
Oh, never mind that, lad. The main thing is that your beacon is ready and you are conversant with the lighting of same in case of emergency.
Oh, yes. Well, it's very conversant. They used to practice lighting the beacon in the pouring rain.
I'll bet that's tricky.
Oh, no, no. The beacon lights easier when it's raining, you know.
Why?
I take it indoors.
Oh, indoors, eh? Well, I'm glad to see a man keen on his job. By the way, where is your house?
We're looking for one.
Dad, look!
And there, out at sea, they saw long wooden objects with blankets fastened to tall upright poles. They had a hurried conference and reached a conclusion.
We're ships!
Ships! Ships.
Hey, where's my tinderbox?
Oh, no, don't light the beacon yet. They may be our ships. Go and stand by with flint and tinder at the ready.
Right you are, sir.
Oh, I'm so excited. The first sign of life for 12 years.
Hey, by this may be a big moment in history if they're enemies. I shall give the signal, and beacon after beacon will give warning of their approach. Bye, you can keep all your telephones.
Shall I light it now, sir?
No, 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 they may be friendly. I'll tell you when. When?
They're firing at us. Come on, up the hill.
Don't panic. Within 20 minutes of old Beacon 1 being lit, the news will have reached London.
If they fire again, I'll be there first.
And on the hill, number one beacon lighter was already at work.
Hurry up with this beacon.
Be all right in a minute or two. I just saw a little bit of red.
The beacon should be an inferno now, and number four should already be functioning.
I can't do any better. I blowed the pile over twice.
Where's my horse? I'll ride on to beacon number two and tell him to light up. Come on, get up.
Here, try your flint and tinder again, Dave. Go on.
Here, mate, don't you start invading till I get my fire lit.
But nearer and nearer came the invaders, and still the beacon resisted all attempts to light it. Half an hour later...
Oh, Mr. Inspector, is number two going to light his beacon?
He says, can he borrow your tinder?
No, he can't. Not yet. Wait till I get my fire going, then he can have it. And...
Look, Dad, they've landed. They're running up the beach.
Oh, I'll pretend I'm waving to them, then I can fan the fire at the same time.
Oh, can't you get some dry wood from somewhere?
I'm trying to light this fire so I can dry some, ain't I?
On and on came the invaders, skirting the hill as they marched on to London, taking everybody by surprise. While on the hill...
They're out of sight now.
They'll be halfway to London by now. And look, another lot coming into land.
Excuse me, have one of you soldiers got a light?
Oh, my system of communication all gone to pot.
Well, there's lots more of the landing.
Oh, heck. Hang on till we get this fire going. My job depends on it, you know.
52 ships unloaded their cargo of invaders. They all marched on to London. And once again, all was peace and calm.
I've got it! It's going! It's alive!
Hooray! Good old day.
Oh, good. They'll be in London now. It's too blooming late. They'll be fighting in the streets of London and no warning. Our beacons will be redundant. What can we do?
Toast anybody?
That was Peter Brough and Archie Andrews in Educating Archie, with Bernard Miles and Nellie, Harry Seacombe, Beryl Reed, Hattie Jakes, Peter Madden, Ronald Chesney, and the BBC Review Orchestra conducted by Harry Rabinovitz.